Mace loy mace. Now, a lot of the sugyas coming up are agoda, more agoda than halacha, but we will learn them. We'll try to learn them quicker, obviously, than the halachic sugyas. But mit Hashem, we will keep going. Mace loy mace, the Mishnah is continuing to talk about the halachas of a melech. And we all remember that this is very much in contrast with the halachas that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah, which are the halachas of the Kohen Gadol. So if you remember, we spoke about the Kohen Gadol who loses one of his close relatives, Rachmana Litzlan. The question was, is he allowed to attend the Levaya because of Tumah reasons? And if you remember, we said, according to one opinion, that he does attend the Levaya, but not in close proximity to the Oren, etc., etc. Now, obviously, those considerations of Tumah obviously do not apply to the Melech. So here it's a completely different issue. This is now an issue of the Melech just leaving the palace. Is it considered kavod for the Melech to leave the palace just to, as it were, wander around in the streets? So he's not wandering around aimlessly. He's going for a very positive reason. The question is he allowed to do so? So says the Mishnah, Mace loy mace. If a close relative died, Einoi yoytze, he does not exit mi Pesach paltarin shaloi. He does not enter, does not leave the door of his palace. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Im roitze lotzeis achar hamito, if he wants to leave and follow the mito, the coffin, yoytze, he can indeed do so. Bedovid. And the proof is because we have indeed found the same has applied to David HaMelech, and he was indeed a king. Achar Avner. He did follow the mito of Avner. So we clearly have a precedent that a king can attend the Levaya there with actually not even a family member. Avner was killed by Yoav. It's a whole story, which we'll see in a moment. So if he attended the Levaya, apparently a king is allowed to attend a Levaya. So the Mishnah responds, Shenema, Vamelech David hoilech achahamito. Omale, so they said to him, no, that's not a proof. Loi hoyo hadovor elom lefayes esha'om. There was a special exception. They needed to be Mephias. They needed to calm, as it were, the nation. So, Rabbi Yosef, if you'd like to read the footnote in the art scroll that will give us a historical backdrop to this, why did they need why did they need to be Mephias Esom? Rabbi Yosef, you'd like to read it out?
An exception was made in order to preserve the peace of the kingdom and prevent a rebellion by those loyal to Avner. Normally, however, a king is not allowed to join the funeral procession of a relative. Is that what you were expecting?
Yes, but do they explain the historical backdrop
There's a bit
about
of, after the death of King Saul, the
yes.
kingship was claimed by both Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, and David, who had been appointed by Hashem to succeed Saul. Saul's general, Abner, initially supported Ish-bosheth, but later abandoned him and made a pact with David. When David's general, Yoav, heard of this pact, he killed Abner. David was greatly distressed over the unjust killing and led the mourners at Abner's funeral. David mourned Abner as a relative, but Abner was a Torah scholar of note, and the Gemara in Moed Katan states when a wise man dies, all are considered his relatives and must mourn him.
Right, so
That's
clearly,
all about.
because of this very unique historical circumstances, i.e., Avner was killed by Yoav, because Avner was seen by Yoav correctly or otherwise to be as a rebellious to the king. David HaMelech himself now was upset about it. So there was a concern that people would think that David HaMelech actually ordered the death of Avner. Because as mentioned, Rabbi Yosef, Avner was leading the charges to support the opposing Melech. So even though David HaMelech actually did not in any which way whatsoever support the killing of Avner, but certainly to an outsider, it would look like he did. So therefore, there was a special dispensation made, and that's why he followed the mitzvah in order to be Mephias Esa'om. And that's why the Mishnah is turning around and is telling Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot therefore bring a proof from here to make this a general rule. This was an exception to the rule. But the general rule is the king does not leave the palace.
Why is the language Pesach, Pesach, you know, for Paltaron? Why doesn't it just say he can't leave the palace? What's the significance of sin?
Yeah, it's a turn of phrase. It's a turn of phrase. Does not step foot out of the door like you'd say in English. Ukashamavrin oisoi. We've mentioned this in the past. The concept of mavrin, havro'o. The Sudas Havro'ah is that first meal following the Levaya, where one brings food to the mourner. So the mourner, in this case the Melech, would therefore be expected, we might think, to sit on the floor, which is beneath the dignity of the Melech. So what happens is to the contrary. When you give him this Suda, the Sudas Havro'ah, Kol Ha'om Mesubin Al Ha'aretz, everybody else is actually sitting there on the floor, the who may save al hadargesh. Do they translate their dargesh as a stool?
No, just dargash for the time being.
Yes, how do they explain that in the art scroll?
It says that the Gemara defines a dargesh below, which it does, I think. It's more dignified to sit on a dargesh than to sit on
right,
a bench.
So we'll see what a... So we'll see whether it's a type of bench or a stool, but either way, it will be beneath the dignity of the king to be sitting on the floor, and therefore, to the contrary, the masses sit on the floor, and he sits on a elevated dargesh. Says the Gemara, Tom Rabon, Mokoim shenoagu noshim lotseis achar hamita, then they do that. Yotseis. Indeed, that they can follow, if that's the minhag for Noshim to attend the funeral and follow the coffin, if that's the custom, then that's what they do. Lifnei ha-mito, if the custom is to go in front of the mito, perhaps in order to separate the women from the men would follow the mito, the women would lead the mito, if that's the minhag, then yaitzeis, then they go out, and they would lead the mitah in accordance with the custom of that particular place. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Lo oilom noshim lifnei hamitah yoitzis. The halacha always requires that women lead the mitah. They do not follow the mitah. It cannot be under any circumstances that women would follow the mitah. Why? Shekein motzinu. B'David, because we have a proof from David HaMelech, sheyotzo achar mitosoi shel Avner, and this is why the Gemara is bringing this in. The discussion over here in the Gemara, essentially, we're not busy discussing the halachas of whether women should attend the funeral. That's not the discussion. But because we can bring a proof to that discussion from a posuk, which is very much our subject, so that's why we're bringing it over here. Our subject is the Melech. And in particular, we're trying to bring a proof from the fact that Dona Melech attended the Levaya. Now, if he attended the Levaya, it's important for us to try and examine where was Dona Melech standing at the Levaya. And the Gemara brings a pasuk, Shekein Motzinu B'David, Sheyotzo Achar Mitosei Shel Avner. He followed, he did not lead, he followed the mitzvah. How do I know? That's the Lashon of the Pasuk, Shenemar. V'hamelech David hoylech achar hamitzvah. And the king David followed the mitzvah. So how is that a proof? Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Towards the top of the narrow lines. Rabbi Yehuda Omer La'olam lefnei amita yotze shekei motzinu b'David sheyotze achar mitose shel Avner. V'hi salka datach, says Rashi. And if you're going to tell me that noshim achar hamito, comma, if you're going to tell me that women follow the mito, then one moment, David HaMelech was following the mito. Urche de David lahalech im hanoshim? Is that the oirach? Is that the correct? Would that be dignified for David HaMelech to find himself following the mito together with the noshim? That can't be. So if we know that the Pasuk clearly states that David HaMelech took his place after the mitzvah, then it cannot be that the Noshim are standing behind the mitzvah either. So it must therefore be that they stood in front of the mitzvah. So they turned round to Rabbi Yehuda and they said, I'm sorry to tell you, there's not a proof. Why? Loi hoyo hadovor elo lefayes es ha'om. As mentioned in the Mishnah, the whole reason why he attended the funeral in the first place was to be mefayes the om. He needed to be seen there to calm down the nation because everybody was very upset with David HaMelech. That, does this mean that he's ordered the assassination of Avner? So therefore, says the Gemara, lo yoyo adova elo lefayes es ha'om, v'nispaisu, and indeed it worked, and they became appeased. Shahoyo David yoitze mibeinu anoshim. First, as it were, he mingled with all the men of Klal Yisrael. Then v'nichnas lebein anoshim. Then v'yotza mibeinu anoshim, v'nichnas lebeinu anoshim. So he mingled, as it were, with the men, then with the women, in order to be seen by everybody. And therefore, you've got no proof from over here that the Noshim stood in front of the mito as opposed to behind the mito. It may well be that they stood behind the mito. What was the question? Is that appropriate for David HaMelech to be mingling with the women? The answer is absolutely yes, because that was the whole purpose of his attendance at the funeral in the first place, that he should be able to mingle with all members of Klal Yisrael and thereby be able to be mafias them, which is indeed what happened, because indeed they were nispias. Shenemar, as it is written, we're on the first wide line now. The Yedu Kol Ha'om, the Kol Yisrael, in order that all of the nation, all of Klal Yisrael, should know, Kiloi Hoisa Mehamelech. This was not coming from the king, Lahomis es Avner, to kill Avner. So it was successful. Dorash Rova, Rova makes a drosha to back this up. Maidiksib. What does it mean when it says there, it's all a pasuk in Shmuel, Shmuel base, Vayovoi kol ha'om lahavrois es David. Now this word lahavrois we had before. So the simple translation would be lahavrois as in to comfort or as in the Sudas Havra'ah. But interestingly enough, says the Gemara, ksiv lahachrois v'korinon lahavrois. We know we have a principle in the Torah of kriksiv. We have some words which are written in the Torah in one way, but they're actually pronounced otherwise. So says the Gemara that this is a classic example. We read it as lahavrois, lahavrois with a base, lamed hei base, but it's actually written lahachrois. We don't pronounce it as lahachrois. We pronounce it as lahavrois. What's the difference? So lahachrois is from the word koris. Koris means to cut off. In other words, says the Gemara, bitchilo lahachroisoi ulebesoif lahavroisoi. In other words, initially the crowd attended lahachroisoi. They wanted to cut themselves off from David. So you clearly see that there was very intense emotion in Klal Yisrael at the time based on their misinterpretation of events and having thought that David HaMelech ordered the death of Avner. So they came lahachroisei with the chof. But the very fact that David HaMelech of all people attended the Levaya clearly showed them they're making a very serious mistake. Because if Tovel HaMelech would consider Avner as a rebel, as a moireid b'malchus, so he justifiably had him killed, there would be no reason to attend the levaya. So the very fact that Tovel HaMelech was in attendance, and the men saw him, and the noshim saw him, so he was therefore successful in appeasing them. So even though initially they came lehachroisoi, they came maybe to cut him off, but it was actually what happened in the end was lahavroisoi. To the contrary, they came to comfort him because they saw that David HaMelech was so distraught about Avner's death. So not only could he not possibly have ordered his demise, to the contrary, he was deeply upset about it. So that's why there's a krieg siv. Whenever there's a krieg siv, it means, as it were, there's two halves of one coin. Double-edged sword. This is a classic case in point. It says, lahach roisoi, because that's why they initially came, lahach roisoi, to cut themselves off from David HaMelech. What happened in reality was, lahach roisoi, they came to comfort. Eventually, they ended up comforting him. Therefore, says the Gemara, I clearly see that what? That clearly David HaMelech was successful in being mefayes es ha'om. So therefore, if you want to bring a raya, as the Gemara wanted to bring a raya, that the noshim have to go in front of the mitoch, because otherwise it would be inappropriate for them to mingle with David HaMelech, who is clearly standing behind the mitoch. So the Gemara, no, it's no proof. Because over there, it might well be that the noshim were indeed following the mitoch. That was precisely the whole point, that yes, they should see David HaMelech. If David HaMelech would follow the mitoh, and they, the noshim, would lead the mitoh, well, then they would never see David HaMelech, and they would never be mafiasim. They would never be mafiasim. So therefore, they deliberately needed to be a mingling, or a meeting, at least, of each other. And says the Gemara, indeed, that was all proven to be correct. Because from this creek sieve, you see, that even though they came to the Levaya all guns blazing, lahachroisei, wanting to cut themselves off from David HaMelech, but what happened at the end of the day? Lahavroisoi, they came to comfort him. Have a look at Rashi. Bitchilo lahavroisoi. Lahavroisoi. Like we said before, lahavroisoi is from the word koris. In the beginning, they came lahavroisoi. Why? Shehoyu svurim. Because they thought, shemi itoi. Hoysa harigas Avner. They thought it was Itoi. What does Itoi mean? They thought it was from him. They thought that who's ordered this assassination? It must be David HaMelech. So Mela, that's why they're very upset. They wanted to cut themselves off. And what happened at the end of the day? They ended up actually comforting. They were all appeased. Sheyodu habirur. Now they knew the clear picture. Shaloi me eis David nerag Avner. It was clearly not coming from David, this instruction to kill Avner. So he was matzliach. He was matzliach in bimefayas es ha'om. Yeah.
Aren't these halachos of the position of melech? So what was David allowed to break the halacha and say, I've just, you know.
Clearly, yes, they considered this pikuach nefesh.
They would have killed him?
Either would have killed him, or they would have, if not pikuach nefesh, then ultimately, to the contrary, this was the greatest kvod hamalchus. The whole reason why a melech is not allowed to, as it were, degrade himself is because that's considered a zilzul to the malchus. But to the contrary, here there was a huge concern, a huge risk of the whole malchus just dissipating, because nobody with Mechabed the Melech, they wanted to cut themselves off. So there will be no greater kavod for the Malchus than to appease the nation, and that way restore the kavod Malchus.
And does he turn to one of his advisor or his Rebbe or the Sanhedrin or somebody to ask that Psach Halacha, or is it on his own self? Or
I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a chesty cough here. Yeah. Rebbe Avraham, you wanted to ask something? No. Okay, we move on. Says the Gemara, down the third wide line. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Mipnei ma ne'enash Avner. Why indeed was Avner punished? Yes, we've established that it was not called for by David HaMelech. That's true. But ultimately, if Yoav killed him, so clearly Avner Ben Ner deserved to be killed. Why? What was his punishment for? What was his Avera that apparently brought about his death? Says the Gemara. Two opinions. Mipnei shehoyoloi limchois b'sho'u v'loi micho. He should, as we'll see in a second, he should have made a protest. He was an extremely prominent member of Klal Yisrael, and he should have made a protest against Shaul. Now, we need to know a little bit, once again, of the historical backdrop. Maybe Rav Yosef will read this for us. But Rashi refers us to the fact that, if you have a look at Rashi, Limchoiz b'Shaul, Rashi says, Baharigas noiv ir hakoyanim. Shaul HaMelech wiped out an entire city of Koyanim, and this city was called Noiv. And Avner, according to this opinion, was held responsible for not protesting this mass annihilation of the city of Noiv. Now, Rabbi Yosef, do they fill us in on the historical backdrop of why Shaul HaMelech killed out this city?
When David was fleeing from King Saul, he passed through Nov, a town of Kohanim, where he was given food and a weapon. As a punishment for this act of treason, Saul had all the priests of Nov put to death.
Right, so therefore, Shaul HaMelech saw this as it were, rebellious nature, because they were, what, protecting David HaMelech, who was running, was running away from Shaul. Therefore, this town of Noiv, who was really some water. Therefore, this town of Noiv, who were giving shelter and refuge to David HaMelech, Shaul saw this as a rebellion against him. So he wiped out the whole city. Avner ben Ner, who was the general of the war, of the army, should have protested this. He was clearly a very great Talmud Chacham and a big tzaddik, and therefore, he was considered to be criticized, and ultimately not just criticized, he was considered punishable. And that's why he died. So the Gemara is asking, why indeed did Avner end up being killed? Because he should have protested the mass annihilation of the town of Noiv. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, that no, I disagree. Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, Micha. He did make a protest. He did make a protest, but v'loy mena. He was not listened to. So the first opinion says that he did not make a protest. Second opinion says he jolly well did protest, but he was not responded to. He was ignored. And interestingly enough, says the Gemara, v'shnehen mikro echod dorshu. And they both actually learn this from the same posuk. This is quite an interesting phenomenon. We have this on many places, that you have a machloikas, two opposite opinions, and interestingly enough, they're both bringing a proof from the same posuk. On most occasions, each amoira will bring a proof from a different posuk, and as we've seen in many sugyas, and each one has to then explain how they learn the second posuk. But over here, that's not the case. They're actually both deriving their particular stance from the same posuk. In other words, they have different and, in fact, conflicting opposite interpretations of the same posuk. What does it say in the posuk? It says in the posuk, the posuk also in Shmuel, Vayakoinein HaMelech El Avner. The Melech, that's David, lamented. He gave a hesped for Avner. Vayomer, and he said, Hakomoiso Novol Yomus Avner, can it be somebody like you, Avner, died? How can it be? Yodecho loy asurois. What does it mean, asurois? Like we said in davening this morning, matir asurim, chained. Your hands were not chained. Viraglecho loy lenechoshtayim hukshu. And your feet were not chained, or like in handcuffs, as it were. That's the posuk. Now that's a little bit cryptic. What did Dovid HaMelech mean when he said your hands and feet were not chained? So the first opinion says, Man da Omar loy micho. According to the first opinion that says he was held to be criticized because he did not make a protest, the way they interpret this phrase is Hochi ka Omar, not Hochi Omar, this is what he said. We know what he said, but what does he mean? This is what he meant. He meant, Yodecho lo yasurois. Your hands were not bound. V'raglecho lo yilinachashtayim hukshu. Neither were your feet chained. In other words, you were not shackled in. You could have done something. My taima lo yimochisa. Why did you not make a protest? So the opinion that says that he did not protest, they interpret these words as, your hands and feet were not chained. You definitely had the possibility to make the protest. Nobody was shackling you in. So why did you not protest? That's why now you've fallen. That's the first opinion. Remember, there was a second opinion. The second opinion maintained the exact opposite. That actually he did make a protest, Pavloinana, he was not responded to. So how does he interpret this pasuk? Uman da oma micha vloinana itmahuye metama. He is learning this to be rhetorical. It's rhetorical. He was learning Dor HaMelech meant to be rhetorical, not your hands were not chained. Why didn't you do something about it? To the contrary. Hakomoison novel Yomus. Can it be that somebody like you died? Yodecho loya surois. Viraglecho loyla nachoshtaim. You did not feel shackled, and indeed you did something about it. Muchuye mochisa. Indeed you made a protest. Is therefore, how can it be? My timer can a foil the fnei b'nei avlo nafalton. Therefore, he was asking as a question. How can it be unbelievable? How is it that you died? Not the reason why you died is because you are not shackled in and you should have made a protest. To the contrary, you did not feel shackled and you made your stance. And therefore, unbelievably, you're still killed. Look at Rashi. Yodecho loy asurois. This is the first interpretation. Your hands were not shackled. Odom choshuv. You are considered a very prominent person to Shaul HaMelech, and you should have made a protest. He would have considered your opinion. And because you did not make the protest, that's why you've fallen. So it's not a question, it's a statement. Whereas according to the second interpretation, says Rashi, what it means to say is Yodecho loy asurois hoyu. Your hands were not chained in. In other words, loy nihagto. You did not conduct yourself ba'atzmacha ka'odom chavush, like a person who's chained in. No, to the contrary, elo b'kol koichacho giliso b'daitcho. Rather, to the contrary, with all your might, with all your koyach, you absolutely made your opinion clear. Umochisa b'shohu. And you did make a protest against shohu. So it's rhetorical. The first interpretation is a question. It's not a statement. It's a statement. It's a statement. You were not shackled and you should therefore have made a protest. For not doing so, that's why you've fallen. The second pshat is rhetorical. Were you shackled in? Absolutely not. You were not. You behaved in a way, clearly in a way that's not shackled at all. And you made your stance clear and you made your protest. How can it be that you're fallen? So now the Gemara has to conclude, and I guess we're going to have to leave this for tomorrow, but therefore, according to one opinion, we have not actually answered our original question. What was the original question? Why did Avner, in fact, get killed? What was his Avera? Now, that depends on the two opinions we just mentioned. According to one opinion, that he did not make a mechah, he did not protest, so he's held accountable. Had he only protested, and he had a right to do so because he was the head of the army, and as Rashi said, he was a very prominent person, and Shaul HaMelech would have considered his opinion. So he's held accountable in part for the wiping out of Noiv Ira Kohenim. Fine. But according to the opposing opinion that said that what? To the contrary, he did make a machah. He protested this vehemently, and for whatever reason, Shaul did not respond. Well, if that's the case, then we haven't answered our original question. So what did Avner do wrong? Why was he killed? According to the first opinion, he was killed for not making a protest. But according to the second opinion, he jolly well did make a protest. And that's the Gemara's next kasha. If that's the case, my timer Ianish, so why indeed was he punished? So that we'll see, Mr. Hashem, tomorrow. We'll see again for this historical backdrop. He delayed the Malchus for 2 years. We'll see. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, all being well, tomorrow morning. Abba Aleinu L'Toyva.
This punishment you're talking about, has Hashem arranged that Yoav should kill him?
Correct.
Shemaim is the punishment?
Yeah. So obviously Yoav has his Bechira. At the end of the day, Avner must have deserved the punishment, otherwise it would never have happened.
So why was David upset then?
That what?
That Avner was killed.
Because he was nonetheless a huge Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik. He was number one upset that people shouldn't think that he ordered the death. He absolutely didn't. And secondly, he was nonetheless a great tzaddik. No question about it. Could be a tzaddik didn't have aveira, but overall, he was an enormous tzaddik and enormous talmud chacham. Okay, have a great day, everybody. Be well.
Have a good day, Kol Tov.